Well, you may be seated. I can assure you, you may be tired, but he's not. I can assure you, you may be weary, but he's not. I can tell you, he's not even been out of shape about the bent out of the shape of the world. Anybody that calls on him, he's ready to exert any amount of energy necessary to help them achieve the goal he has for their life. We often get it mixed up when we pray the Lord's Prayer, "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus prayed that prayer himself. It was always about the will of the Father. And so I encourage you to make sure that you pray prayers that fit your heart and not just your feelings. Because when we say, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done," that is a significant surrender of our will to his will. And when his will is done, great peace, great joy, and great righteousness. I thrill at the prospect of sowing just a little more seed in the life of people who have purpose written in their heart. Hebrews, the 4th chapter. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. Neither is there any creature that's not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked." Boy, that makes you feel good, don't it? All things are naked. I want you to catch that, because you can't do a cover-up. They may at Washington, but you can't. When it comes to him, he knows why you did everything, how you did everything, and what you really intended when you did it. He said, "You're naked when it comes to my visual. You can't cover it up with clothes. You can't cover it up with actions. You can't cover it up. You're dealing with a God tonight that knows what you have need of. And he's got a storehouse that the heaven of heavens is ready to surrender to your future, to create for you why you were born, why you were first started breathing. And so tonight I come to you. So he sent me tonight to tell you that you are still the apple of his eye, and that he cares for you more than you care for yourself." That's hard to believe when we want chocolate cake and mama won't give it to us. Because mama cares about you, and she knows too much chocolate to keep both of you up all night. He knows where you are. I wish you'd look at your neighbor and said, "He knows where you are." You're on his GPS. And I promise you, he's tracking you, and he's got angels, and he's got ministering spirits that are available when you surrender and say, "Okay, not my will." All the workers go to work. transforming your mind, transforming your spirit, and then when you get those lined up, devil kicking comes natural. It's an awesome God. What was the word I stopped on? You mean I spent that much time and y'all can't remember that? It's going to be a long night. What was that last word? Oh, you did remember. You just didn't want to say it, did you? Isn't that funny how we have feelings about certain words? You start making sure your coat's buckled. All right, let's move on. I don't have much time. All things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. But listen to this, but was in all, I wish I might say all points. All points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Somebody say help. He's not going to do it for you, but he's going to help you get it done. Said you can find grace teaching that will help you if you're ready to really get it done. Now, I know that don't paint the picture. I'm going to preach the subject tonight. And this is in memory of one of my late friends, Mike Timonella, who preached here a couple of three times just previous to his death. Some 30, 40 years ago, we were talking in sermons and things, and this title just jumped out at me. But I didn't want to preach it across America because I didn't want everybody to think I was the one that got the revelation. Because Mike told me this, and now that he's gone, I would like for him to get the credit for introducing me to the idea, the subject. And I have enjoyed his friendship for so long. So when you're thanking God tonight, you be sure and tell God, thanks for Mike Timonella, who was a friend of our pastor's, and they created more memories than the angels could record. You don't have to add that part. I think some of the angels are still dizzy. Now, I want you to understand that the Apostle Paul found a means by which to attract Jesus to his life. Whether in prison, whether in shipwrecks, whether in beatings, or whatever. The Apostle Paul, after all that he went through, he sent you a little note that he wanted me to remind you of. And he said, let me tell you something. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory. Now, Paul tasted a lot of hurts, a lot of disappointments. He tasted a lot of days when fatigue was a part of his life, when threats were more than just a statement. There were truly people that wanted to kill him. So my subject title tonight is When Jesus Steps Out of the Picture. Now, our first response to that is like, he's leaving. But I want you to get it this way. Let's look at this and then we'll amplify that a little more. There are pictures in this Bible that some of us wished we could have been there when the picture taker was snapping the picture. Some pretty cool pictures in this Bible. One is the widow at Zarephath. Somebody had a video camera on that one. It was such a picture of a lady going downhill and downhill and downhill. She had one son. There doesn't appear to be a man in the home. It seems that there was only the two of them, and that they were not very well off. And then one day, a preacher came by and asked them for the rest of the food they had in the pantry. Guess what? I nearly guarantee you that lady had a picture in her mind of somebody coming by with a load of food. Not a picture of somebody coming asking for food. She looked at that kid probably like any of you good mothers would have and thought, wouldn't it be something if my little boy and I could have one of those camel caravans come around and drop a sack somehow out in the road. And I'd call that God, because God is good at helping things happen that are weird that turn out better than you think. I'm sure that her picture in her mind wasn't exactly like what unfolds to us. But what is unfolding to us is that God knew that that mama lived to help that boy have the best life she could give him. And you hear her say, we only got just enough food for one more meal, and life is history for us. And this guy says, bring me what life you have left. She didn't understand the principle, given it shall be given. She doesn't know about all those things that we have had the privilege of in America of listening to preacher after preacher tell us. God is very merciful. God will never ask more of you than he will give you. She's just got a man at her door saying, give me what you have left. He's learning. She's learning. And all of a sudden, God steps out of the picture. That picture she really had in her mind of something happening to feed her boy. But she had to give up what she had in order to get what she didn't have. And so all of a sudden she bakes the cake, brings it to him. He goes down the trail, and tomorrow Jesus is standing in the cupboard area. He's got bread enough and to spare. And we perish with hunger. He is a God that doesn't want to live in some picture on the wall of your house. I want to tell you, he wants to live in your bedroom. He wants to live in your car. He wants to give you bread that you've never eaten. He understands what's really going on. And so he's asking, give me the rest of what you have so I can give you the abundance of what I have. Because I don't want to live in a framed up picture somewhere on the wall of your mind. I want to be your bosom buddy. I want to walk out among you. I want to touch you. I want to reach you. I want you to know you're special. You're wonderful. I care about you. Just me and you. Nobody's watching as much. Hey, didn't want to live as a healer hanging on the wall. Yes, He did that for the widow at Zarephath. Yes, he healed the man that was crippled. Yes, the man that broke down through the roof. What a picture we have of him. But you got to understand what caused those pictures to become more than a stagnant, stale frame somewhere hanging on the wall of a mind. People got desperate. People got hungry. People got lost their pride. They lost all the things that belong to flesh, and they said, not my will, thine be done. If you want the rest of my life, here it is. If you want my praise, here it is. If you want my love, here it is. If you want it, I'm telling you, you're not going to outgive him, and you're not going to have a picture hanging on the wall if you give the rest of what you have. There's a lot of pictures in this book that a lot of people would like to do the mail order thing. I'll give 50. I'll give 100. I'll do this. And I want all that you got for me. He said, let me tell you, here's how it works. If you want him to step out of the picture and just cease to be a God that lives way off out yonder in heaven, seek the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. In other words, don't reserve stuff for the world. Give it everything to him. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. He knows what we have need of even before we ask. But he understands the intent. He understands the naked side of that life. He sees through the facade that if we don't get what we want when we want it, we'll quit coming to your worship center. We'll quit obeying your word. We're going to give it all, or we're not going to get it all. I'm here to preach to us tonight. He wants more than you do to walk off of the wall somewhere. He wants more than you do to come out of somewhere in distant history and show up in Paris, Texas. He's a God that cares. But he wants all of you. And I can tell you, all of you amounts to very little compared to all of him. He knows when we're singing songs, I give it all. And 5 minutes later, can't wait to get out of his presence. It's a hard message to tell a widow woman, give me the rest of yours. I'm not quite there yet, just to be honest with you. I don't know of one of you I would ask for you to give me the last money that's in your pocket. That's what he asked for. It's hard, Brother Jerry, to preach God's word like it needs to be preached. But if we want him to live in a picture somewhere in a Bible, somewhere in distant history, a God that... Maybe you guys like that story. I like it. Daniel in the lion's den. Anybody but me like that story? I mean, how cool is that? Well, Daniel, tell us how you got him to come out of heaven and quit just being a God that's afar off. Well, I'll tell you how it was. They told me they was going to put me in that lion's den, and I had a choice. They told me if I ever got holy and godly and serve God with all my heart, I couldn't dress like the world, talk like the world, act like the world. And I tell you what, I made a choice that day. I'm keeping my little loaf of bread, and I'm keeping my little life, and I'm going to let him go do what he wants to do, because I'm not giving up everything in order to get all he's got. I'm here to tell you, if you want Jesus to get off of the wall, and you want Jesus to come out of your mind and get in the middle of your life, you got to give it all. You got to surrender everything. He wants all of you. Well, I'll give you this much of me. But if I do all of that, you have no idea, God, how they're going to make fun. Oh, he don't. How do you get a rapture spirit? You let them make fun of you. You stand here like this, hanging on a cross, and let them spit on you and ridicule you and call you and your kids weird. And don't try to be weird just to be weird. That's what a lot of people are doing. They don't mind. You can teach a dog how to do some human tricks, but you can't teach a dog how to be a human. Oh, tonight you may hate me for preaching this, but next month, when you're living on a hallelujah side, you're going to say, God, thank you for sending pastor to the pulpit and telling us how to get you out of the Bible and into our life. Come here, Calvin. Dr. Kustrel looked at me. How old was she, Kyron? Two? We were at Jan K. She was 2 months old. Six times, Dr. Kustrel stuck a needle in her arm. He looked at me and he said, Pastor, he and I were racquetball players at the time. He said, Pastor, you better touch God. We've got to get this in her vein. And I told him, I said, I will. And two times later, he got that needle right in there after trying all those times. And Jesus stepped into that room and gave whatever necessary. He's not just a picture somewhere out yonder. He is a real living God that is going to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I surrender all is more than a song. It's a redemptive factor. I give you everything I got left so I can get what you've got left. I'll tell you what he's got left. He's got miracles. He's got glory. We hadn't even touched half of it. I'm here to tell you tonight that the glory of the Lord is everywhere. But the magnetism for all he's got that he wants to give you is you give him all that you've got. That's tough. Humans are not taught to do that. I can tell you, I was nearly sweating peanut butter. I don't know how you do that, but I was nearly there. I needed $7,000. I mean, I needed it. It wasn't like I was going to go buy me a new motorcycle. I needed $7,000. I looked in heaven. I looked around. And I didn't do what Job said his wife did. Charge God foolishly. I just told him, I said, look, probably somewhere along the way, I didn't do something right. Probably somewhere along the way, I misunderstood. But all I know, now, when you're normally getting about $1,200, And all of a sudden you go and look in the financial area of the church, and there's an extra $7,000 in the till. You don't have to wonder if he's hiding somewhere over yonder. You don't have to worry about this God that knows your heart. He understands your need greater than you understand your need. He understands how to bless you when you can't bless yourself. He understands how to come out of the night when it turns so dark you can hardly see the way out of wherever you are. And I have been on the financial side. I have been on the healing side. I've been up against walls that I had no clue what to say to people that were coming for counseling. And I would hit my knees and I would go to the floor and I would say, God, all I know is this: they need something and I don't have it, but I think you do, and I give you this time and I give you the honor of being my God. And all of a sudden, spiraling down like a tornado that lifted Elijah out of here in a funnel, the glory of the Lord would come down. And all of a sudden, somebody would say to me, how in the world did you know that? I said, I didn't know that. He gave it to me. It's the manna that comes from above. It's the glory. It comes from the Lord.
I want the musicians to come. I got so many notes, but my heart burns for you to have him. Not as a picture. Well, I know God is a real God. I know he's a wonderful God. But I'm telling you, you got to surrender your will if you want his will. His last will and testament is written: I will supply all of your need according to my riches and glory. He is not about trying to give you money. He's trying to give you talent. He's trying to give you discipline. He's trying to give you a mind that will absolutely work in a world that is so dark. He's going to turn the light on. He's going to turn the light on in your marriage. You young couple, right there, I've already watched you. I'm telling you, if you'll stay on track, you are going to show men and women that are young, it is still right to give your vows the extreme. I give myself to you, and I give myself to you. I'm here to tell you, this church is a pace-setting church. And tonight, what we do with God's word, it's going to determine what God does with our spirit and our future. This altar's open. You can make an altar where you sit. I'm not interested in trying to count heads. He knows the thoughts and the intent. He understands where we are. And he's calling the United Pentecostal Church of Paris to an altar. You can kneel. You can stand. Find a place somewhere, wherever. But my encouragement as a pastor: obey that statement he made in Matthew the 16th chapter. If anybody would meet my disciple, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. That's what he's asking. So the singers are singing. And I preach to you the heartbeat of the Lord. I don't want to be a prisoner in a pig.